Welcome to the Sober Rebel Bite Size series for January. This episode is no more than 20 minutes, and there will be one a day throughout the month of January. I've been doing this podcast now for nearly 2 years, and in that time I've spoken to so many amazing guests. So I thought it would be a lovely idea this month to revisit some of the highlights of those conversations every day throughout January to keep you focused on why you're doing this. Today's episode is with Justin. In the main episode, we talk about how sobriety has helped him with his health, how off the back of going sober, he's rethought his diet and now feels more connected spiritually. One of the things I really enjoyed about this conversation was where we talked about taking it one day at a time and enjoying each step in sobriety, because I'm somebody that likes to do everything yesterday. And actually, sobriety is something you can't really rush. You have to do the day in front of you. And as he covers, it's a beautiful thing and not something to be rushed.
Look, you know, it's the old scenario. If you live in the past, you will get depressed.
Yeah.
If you live in the future, you're going to get anxious. So you live in the present, and it's a gift. That's why it's called the present, you know. And one day at a time is so essential to me. And I love living my life like that. Of course I plan. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a businessman. I do lots of planning. But for me, the one day at a time, I still start my day with that mantra of today. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm ready for it. I'm still aware of the fact that I'm a recovering alcoholic. I've got to keep my wits about me, and then I just get on with the day. But that same process doesn't change at all. I have my journal. I write in it every morning, get my thoughts out. I mean, I always say with sobriety, it's about levels. What level are you at? And these levels take years for some. It's something that I found quite interesting in AA was the 12-step recovery program, was that some people could do it in days stroke weeks, which I found really odd, because I'm still working on that and I'm 9 years in. You know, for me, my working will be throughout the whole of my life. It's not something I tick off. It's never ticked off. I'm always working and always trying to develop myself as a human and trying to be a better person. That to me is very important. And that again is the one day at a time. Those incremental steps of being a better person than you were yesterday, trying to improve yourself gradually, you know, over a period of time, makes so much difference. And meditation was one of those, what I call levels, where I went, oh, right, I've got to this level now. And that was the spirituality, which I, you know, mentioned. And that was, again, that came years later. It wasn't immediate for me. It was something that I kind of grew into, started to read about, developed, and then I took it on board. But I was only ready to take that on board when I was ready, because I wasn't there at the start. It wasn't me. I was still working out who Justin Bone was, because I didn't know. That was the thing. I thought that Justin Bone was Justin T-Bone. And for that to change at the age I was and go, hang on, no, that's not who you are. It was, you know, it's quite an amazing thing to do. But yeah, the levels of sobriety.
I like that sort of analogy of having different levels and different paces as well, isn't it?
Yeah. The quickest way to do something is slowly.
Oh, I like that.
The quickest way to do something is slowly. You know, you can't do something quickly. It has to be slow.
So how does that work then? You mentioned ADHD, right? And I know that I'm neurodivergent as well. So I'm intrigued because I want to do everything yesterday.
Yeah.
How do you sort of get your head around that as somebody who's neurodivergent and the one day at a time and slowing down?
You structure your day. You structure your day. That's very important. That's something that I didn't do because, you know, running bars, running nightclubs, running restaurants, whatever, you know, that you're juggling so many balls at the same time. I mean, just so many balls, you wouldn't believe it. And so I had this scatterbrain and it was so scattering. Then the sobriety came and then so, but I still had a scattery brain. It didn't make any difference. It was like, so how do I control this? How do I make this brain focused? How do I get laser focused? And it literally was structuring my day to the point where the start of my sobriety, I was going hour by hour. So I was listening. I would get up in the morning. What am I going to do today? Where am I going to be today? And as that developed, obviously I didn't do it hour by hour, but now I can sit down and I can plan a week, if I can even plan a month in front of me. But I'm still doing one day at a time, if that makes sense. I'm still looking at the micro while trying to do the macro. Yeah.
No, that makes perfect sense.
But the slowly thing is essential for sobriety because you want it to take time. Because there's some beautiful things you're going to discover. And you don't want to do that in a rush. You want to discover them. You want to enjoy them. You want to live in the present and have that moment and then move on to the next thing. You don't want to go tick, 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 tick. I'm done now. I'm sober now. I've done it all. No, it doesn't work like that. You're on it for the whole of your life. It's a lovely, beautiful journey. Go with it. Take your time.
Yeah, it is. It really is. And it's like what I've noticed in the second year, the sort of it shifted again. And I know that people talk about that in the first year. You just focused on getting through the first everything, aren't you? The first Christmas, the first birthday, the first. And now I feel like I'm relaxed. I always say I'm confident, but not complacent. I love that. Slowly is the fastest way to do something. That is a really, really good quote because we're always in such a rush. We're such a consumer led society, aren't we? We want the next thing. We want the next goal. We want to achieve this and achieve that.
Well, that's what's been told, what we've been taught, isn't it? You know, it's all about, and that's why I was saying to you about the consumerism, the buy, 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 24/7. You know, everything is it, boom, 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 boom. But it doesn't have to be. Although everyone else around us is doing boom, 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 we can step back from that and we can say, actually, that's not for me. That's not the way I want to live. You know, I don't want to be working really hard to buy stuff and then working really hard because I can't use the stuff I've just bought because I'm working too hard. It doesn't make any sense. And you know, the sobriety, those early months just made me step back. It just made me step back and go, oh, we are doing this really wrong. This is not life. This is not what makes us happy. This is not what we how we derive our happiness. You know, you keep telling us that it comes from the simple things in life, but we're overcomplicating everything. So I just kind of stripped it back, really. And the living in the garage was when I really truly realized, having, you know, I had lots of objects in my life, as you can imagine. I had the most incredible wardrobe. You should have seen it. It was phenomenal. And each suit was a different personality because I used to gate crash things in London, you see. And when I was drinking, I'd have Carlos Fandango or Victor Ferrari, Luca Suave or Disco Volante, and they were all married to suits. And I would go out and I would get drunk and run around London and I'd crash things. I used to crash weddings and fashion shows and wedding at nightclubs and all kinds of things. It was terrible. VIP things and stuff like that. And when I didn't have all of these objects around me, and it was just literally me in this garage, it was so empowering. It was so embracing just to know that a book or some music or the radio was enough for me. And that taught me such a good lesson in life that we don't need much. We really don't. We think we do. We think we need lots of things to make us happy, but actually they're very simple, the things that we need, whether it be a walk or some beautiful food or the sun. The sun. Do you remember the sun?
Yeah, I think I can see it just glimpsing behind a cloud.
How happy do we become when the sun comes out?
I know, we are British. We don't see it that often.
But do you know what I mean? I walked through town last week and it was sunny, and the whole demeanor changes. We say it every single season, you know, but everything changes. And it literally is just this big thing in the sky that's shining bright and makes us all happy. We don't pay for it, it's free, you know, and it's one of those moments. So then I realized after about 3, 4 years, met my partner, who was incredible, Natalie. And when she met me, we met in the gym, 6 o'clock in the morning. She appeared as if by magic. And obviously, I was living in the recovery house, which you can imagine when someone says, oh, what do you do for a living? But she put an incredible amount of faith in me, which I'm eternally grateful for. And we set up this fitness company called the Pop-Up Gym, and we did this yoga events. And we put the first ever yoga event in a cathedral. And that was an amazing event. And BBC came and filmed it. And I started getting into the fitness, and then suddenly it's like, hang on, I need to look at my diet. That was the thing. I need to look at my diet because I wasn't happy with the way I was feeling. I was feeling good, but I thought, hang on, I think I can feel better. This is the thing. This is the addict coming in. I want to chase the high. I'm starting to feel high on life now. So I looked at the diet and we went plant-based. And within literally 2 weeks, I'm like, oh, no, I'm feeling really good, like really good now. I'm lighter. I can feel the benefits of not eating meat and dairy. And that was like the next stage for me. So I start to do this plant-based diet. But from this comes something weird that happens to you when you do this, is you view the universe in a completely different way. When you look at an animal, you look at it in a different way because you're not eating its meat. So that small increment of just changing my diet opened up this whole new world of where am I on the planet? What am I doing here? How do I fit in? How are you meant to live on this planet? How does it work? How do we all kind of interlink? And so then that was the diet, which led to me becoming spiritual and suddenly thinking, hang on, okay, well, we're all in this together. What's going on with the universe? How do we get here? And then you start reading about it and you find out that 12 billion years ago, we were all space dust. And that's the Simon Cox guy. Is it Simon Cox? What's the name of the
Brian Cox, isn't it?
Ryan Cox? That's how he
Yeah.
described it. He was on the Joe Rogan show. Joe kept pushing him. He goes, no, I want it simpler than that, simpler than that. Explain life, simpler than that. And he goes, well, basically, 12 billion years ago, we were all space dust. We were all little pieces of dust floating around in the sky. So if you take it from where to here, if you tell me there's no miracle involved in that, I'm sorry. I'm not religious. Does that make sense? I don't have a God. But to me, the universe is really important to me now because it's my way of letting go. And it's the old scenario with the sobriety, isn't it? You can control a lot of things in your life. There is so much you have absolutely no control over, absolutely zero. So as soon as you can let go and go, do you know what? I'm going to let the universe sort that out. I'm going to let the universe decide that one. I don't know where I'm going to be in a year, 5 years, 10 years. I'll let the universe decide that for me. I'll do my thing. I'll be the best person I can be. And I'll work with the universe and I'll work with the planet. And I'll try and, do my bit. And I'll just see what happens. And ever since I've kind of thrown myself over to the universe and let you decide, it's been brilliant.
That is
Really, really
amazing.
good. And that's, again, the next level of sobriety. So you're building on these levels.
You're like
The
Sonic the
more so,
Hedgehog.
it's like Sonic the Hedgehog, literally. And so now, every single morning, as I walk to the gym at whatever time, ludicrous time, I will look up and I thank the universe for it for the day. I do my gratitude, as people call it. It makes such a difference to my sobriety. It really, really does. And when I heard this guy being interviewed, he was some priest or something like that, was being interviewed on this radio show. And the guy said to him, he said, why do you have faith? I think there was two of them. This guy was, the good and the bad. And he was like, well, why do you have faith? The guy just turned around and went, well, why wouldn't you? And I thought that was so brilliantly put. Why wouldn't you have faith? It doesn't, if you're wrong, you're wrong. But by the time you find out you're wrong, you're dead. So it doesn't make any difference. So you might as well have faith throughout your life that there is something else.
It's a
Whether it be
happier existence, isn't it? I think.
so much happier, so
Yeah.
much happier. And it makes sobriety so much easier as well, because you don't have to worry so much. You can actually go, do you know what? I'm not going to worry about that. I'll let the universe deal with that. Because we do worry about a lot of things. We have all these balls in the air. But if you can hand some of those balls over to the universe and go, look, I can't worry about that. I can't control it. Let them deal with that. And it's just was the final stage for me of unlocking the true meaning of sobriety.
If you'd like to listen to the whole episode, then head back to the 14th of May 24, episode 19 with Justin. If you'd like to find out more about working with me, then head to my website, louisaevans.com. I don't just support with sobriety, I also help with many other areas, including anxiety, overthinking, and low mood. On the website, you'll find lots of resources, including my online Sober Resilience course. And if you use the code RESILIENCE544 as a Sober Rebel listener, you'll get a 30% discount. And also a range of hypnosis recordings. Use code SOBERREBEL, all one word, to buy one, get one free. Self-hypnosis is a very powerful and effective way to begin to reprogram how we automatically think about things. You'll find a range of different topics on my website. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all of my guests on the Sober Rebel podcast for sharing their story and for taking the time to talk to me. The Sober Rebel podcast will be back very soon. I'm just currently recording some fantastic episodes to share with you. I hope you have a good day.